I tell people all over the United States, you know, God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. You know that the Lord somewhere today is going to bless people. Amen. You say, where is that? Well, it's in church, because this is where the blessings are on Sunday, the beginning of the week. Amen. And I want to get the blessings of God. I want to have those good things that only the Lord can give us. And there are certain things that only God can give us. The world can give us some things. They're okay. There are some good things, but the best things are given to us by God. And that's what we want. And that's what God wants for us. He just doesn't want the good things. He wants the best things. And folks, we live in an amazing country. Now, I'm sorry to say, the young people here this morning, they've been lied to, as many of us adults have been lied to as well, about our country. We've been told this, that America is just another nation in the history of the world. That's not true. We are the only other nation in the history of mankind that started from the premise of the truth. All other nations aside from Israel and the United States came to the truth. America started from the truth, from God's word. And the reason that is so very particular to us, and why we need to understand this, is because we started with the truth. God has blessed this country. And I love America. And yes, America has a lot of faults, and there's a lot of things going on in our country that is not pleasing to God. But we are a Christian nation. We're still a Christian nation, and we're still the greatest nation on the planet in modern history. We're the only nation that people are striving to get to, that they were literally risk their lives to get here. No other nation on earth can claim that. In fact, when you come to the United States is the only nation in the world that you can come to and be an American. You can't go to France and be a Frenchman. You can't go to Germany and be a German. You can't go to Great Britain and be a Brit. But you can come to America, no matter who you are and what background you've had as far as your lineage, and you can become an American. Now, that's an amazing thing. E pluribus unum, that's the concept of that particular truth. Now, that's not our motto, by the way. E pluribus unum, which is out of many, one. That means when you come to the United States of America, you become an American. Okay, there's no hyphenation here, okay? My background is British, okay? I'm British in my background, but I'm not a British American. I'm an American, amen? So take that hyphenation out. And also, when you come to America, you need to learn English. This is a nation of one language, and the reason why we're a nation of one language is because our founding fathers knew the principles of God's word, and the Bible says that in Babel, in the time of the ancient days, God separated people because of language. And so when you come to America, you learn English, and you learn what it is to be an American, and you learn the Constitution of the United States. That's why it's very important for people to come here legally, okay? And you say, Brother Harding, that sounds like you're prejudiced. I'm not prejudiced against anybody. I hope everyone can make it to the United States that wants to. But you've got to get here legally just like anything else. Amen? And so you say, well, Brother Harding, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about how blessed our country is. The blessings of America. And we are a blessed nation. Amen? And so what time do I need to stop, Brother Ross? 20 after. Okay. All right. So as King Henry VIII told his first wife, I won't keep you long. Okay? But I do want to share some things with you. And take your Bibles, look to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, it's wonderful to be here. I'm sorry my wife cannot be with us today. She's dragged all over the country by yours truly. And every once in a while, she needs to get a little rest. It's hard to keep up with the big dog, okay? And so the little puppy is home right now, my little blonde-haired, blue-eyed puppy of a wife, and she's a sweet, sweet gal. I wish you could meet her, but she's resting up a little bit because we have a grueling schedule ahead of us, and I fly so much on Southwest now that for a whole year, she has what's called a companion pass. So she flies with me for free. That's pretty good. That means we can go from the East Coast to the West Coast, and she pays $11. Amen. And so, but she's home today resting. You know, she's not home literally. She's at church, but she's resting up this time frame because we have led a schedule that would probably run teenagers and 20-year-olds into the ground. Okay. You say, well, what keeps you going? I'll tell you what keeps you going. God's grace and His goodness and His blessing. But it says here in Psalm 33 something very unique. It says in verse 12 of Psalm 33, blessed is the nation. What nation is that? Whose God is the Lord. Now, right here in America, we as a nation I mean, not individually, but collectively, we said at the beginning of our country, there is a God. And that God gives us certain rights. They're inalienable. That means they're inseparable. That means that no one should ever take them away from us because God gives them to us. What are those rights? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay? Now, let me just say this. Life's under attack today. I'm sorry to say that Planned Parenthood is doing some monstrous things today. And because of our lack of God in our country today, we see America doing the same type of things that Nazi Germany did. We have nothing on Nazi Germany. I mean, when you birth a little baby and you birth a little baby boy alive and you cut through his face to harvest his brain, folks, that's monstrous. You understand? That's what Planned Parenthood is doing. But we are a blessed nation. We need to, as God's people, once again, rise up, stand up, speak up after we get prayed up about the right things and reclaim our country. And we can do that. We can do a whole lot more than we even imagine. We're going to learn about that this week. But it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen. You see that? So God's chosen us. The people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. There's no reason why we are here aside from God. As far as a country, we shouldn't have won the war for independence. We're going to talk about that in great detail. But we did win, didn't we? And to the surprise of the community of nations throughout the entire world, we won our independence. And by the way, we're still independent. And by the way, we still are supposed to have a president, not a tyrant, not a king that says, I'm going to do whatever I want to, no matter what the Constitution says or what the Congress says, you see. We need to get back to our original documents and realize that they are there for a reason because they are the blueprint of our country. And so we're going to learn some things about the politics or the policy of a nation because the policy of this nation makes us a blessed people. And by the way, the policy of this nation is biblically based. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I have a little something here in my pocket that I have out there, and it's called the Constitution of the United States. And this is the most amazing, miraculous governmental document in the history of mankind. Now, it's not a perfect document because there are some amendments, but it's based upon a perfect document. And the reason why this document has been around for so long and for 239 years has made us the longest ongoing constitutional republic in the history of the world is because it is based upon God's word. And God's word's living, you see. See, I don't know what decisions to make in life. There they are right there. Because there's two things that'll make it out of this world. Our eternal soul and that book right there. You see? And this is forever settled in heaven. So you want to know the blueprint of life? You want to know where the pitfalls that the devil is going to put before you are? You want to know and emulate the successes? Hey, I don't know about you, but I would always love to see success in your life, in my life. In the lives of God's people. I love to hear those stories. Brother Harding, God's blessing me, you see. And the reason why is because we are adhering to the word of God. And so the reason why we are such a blessed nation is because our founding fathers adhered to the word of God. Do you understand? No one else had put these types of truths down on paper before we did. The three branches of our government are given to us by the word of God. Say, are you kidding? No, I thought they were... Brother Harding, I thought they were a spin-off of ancient Roman Greece. No, they are literally taken from God's word. The three branches of government, separations of powers from God's word. Where we get the republic, and by the way, we're not a constitutional democracy. Like even the conservatives are calling us. We are a republic. It is to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, you see. And so we need to realize these things and get back to the fact that we are a blessed nation because God has blessed us. And because we see something very unique going on in our country. Now, God's given three institutions in our nation. Three institutions, okay? That in our nation and really in history. That means that God has created and ordained three institutions. That of the family. Okay, that's sequentially appearing first in the Bible. Secondly, is government. You say, where's government in the Bible? Where does that show up second in sequence? When Noah got off the ark, God told Noah, if man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. You say, what's that talking about? That's talking about if someone premeditates and kills a man, then we're supposed to, as a government, put that person to death. Because government is protection of the righteous from the unrighteous, you see. And that's what the Bible's talking about right there, you see. Third institution is the called out ecclesia. And here we are, the New Testament church. And we've been pretty good stewards of the first and the third. But folks, that second God-given institution, we walked away from it decades ago. Decades ago. And we have a biblical responsibility of being engaged in our government. But we need to get educated first before we can get engaged. You say, well, Brother Harding, everyone talks about the separation of church and state. And that's true. They do. A lot of people, a lot of the liberals especially, don't want Christians to be involved in government. Well, we're not supposed to be involved in government because it's not spiritual. Well, a couple of things are wrong there. First of all, when anyone ever says that the separation of church and state keeps people of God out of our government, I always say, well, where is that found? Oh, that's found in the Constitution. But you know what? It's not there. Separation of church and state. You young people, I'm sure some of your history teachers would say, oh, separation of church and state keeps people of faith out of the church, out of government. No, it doesn't. Because first of all, there is no such thing as separation of church and state in the Bible as people are trying to convince us it is. Well, then what is in, the Constitution. What is in the Constitution that's based upon the Bible? I'll tell you what it is. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That means that the state stays out of the church. That's why we are tax exempt. We're tax exempt because we're tax immune, okay? You waving at someone over there? All right, why don't you pay attention up here instead, okay? All right, very, very good. But what I'm saying is, hey, folks, what we need to understand is the Constitution of the United States has given us great rights to be here today. Do you know that there are some young people in other nations because they don't want them to learn about the Word of God because God's Word is liberating and they want to control people? That if young people go to church, if young people go to Sunday school, young lady, sit up and pay attention to me, okay? This is not the time to sleep. You go back home and sleep later, okay? But right now I want you to listen about your country because, hey, the reason why we are here today is to give these young people a brighter future. Because if we don't do something very soon, guess what, young ladies? Young men, you won't be eating the same way that you have eaten in your life, the way I've eaten. You won't dress the same way. You won't have the same type of nice clothes. You won't drive the same type of cars that we have driven in our life. And you won't live in the same type of houses. And you won't make the same amount of money. And you will not have the same amount of freedom in your life if we don't do something for our country. Because, by the way, folks, if we don't do something very soon and we adults wake up, their future is going to be very dim. And what I'm talking about is reality. This is all going to go away. You understand? It's all going to go away. I want these young men to be able to drive nice cars, these young ladies to live in nice homes, to eat. Hey, I like eating well. Pastor took me out. Man, I'm telling you, there is abundance in America, you see. And we eat well in America. We ate good. I ate good yesterday. Even after the pastor left, there was a little mom and pop restaurant across the way. I went over and I ate well. Amen. It was good. It was dangerous. You say, what do you mean? I mean, a little bit of that food spilled, slapped on my forehead, and my tongue tried to slap my brains out trying to get to it. That's how good it was. Amen. But what I'm saying is we have it good here, but it won't be good for long unless we do something about it. Hey, the separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. The only thing is that the government stays out of the church. There is such a thing of separation of church and state. It isn't a document. You say, what's that document? It's called the Communist Manifesto. That's where the separation of church and state is. Not in America. No. We have the right, and in fact, the only reason why we are even here is because Christians got involved in government. And put your phone away for right now, okay? And play with your phone later, all right? Thank you very much. I want you to pay attention. Yeah, I used to be a principal of a school. I taught, and so you can't get anything over on me, so put it away in your pocket, okay? Thank you very much, okay? You know what they say about old principals? We never die, we just lose our faculties. So you don't want me to go crazy on you? Okay, all right. No, but I'm just kidding. I enjoy young people. I really enjoy young people. I want young people to have things good in this country, but they won't have good things. They won't have the best things unless we adults stand up, unless these young people understand there is something about this country that's unique. There is no other nation in the history of mankind like the United States of America. And these, I've heard about some of these young people that want to, you know, they want to leave our country. Well, go ahead and leave and go over to one of the third world nations and you know, walk around bent over because you don't have enough food to eat. Okay? I think it'd be very good for a lot of our young people to go over to a third world nation for a while and have to kill and cook their own food. Okay? But our nation is unique, and blessed is this country. And there's a reason why. Half of the people on earth live on less than $2 a day. I mean, there's multiplied billions of people that live on less than a dollar a day. I mean, that's all they have all day long is $1. That's everything. That's all the food. I mean, everything. Well, most of us have spent more than a dollar today just getting here, see? And the reason why is because, folks, this is a blessed nation. John Adams said the general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence are the general principles of Christianity. Christianity always equals liberty, and liberty always equals abundance. And so what we have to understand is here in America, compared to, you might say, the second richest spot on earth, which is Western Europe, which is France, Germany, Great Britain, okay? If you compare the lowest rung of our society here compared with the second richest place on earth, our lowest in our society are more likely to have a telephone, television, air conditioner, automobile. They eat more meat and they live in more square footage than those people do over there. Why is that? Because we are a blessed nation. And why? We're 4% of the world's population here in America. 4%. But we produce 20% of the world's garbage. So that's a very interesting statistic. Yeah, and the reason why is because we have so much stuff. We have something here. It's a phenomenon. It's called the garage sale, or the yard sale. I saw signs about the garage. And I mean, people go to garage sale and they say, look what we got. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Pennies on the dollar. And then they go back home and they say, oh, we have too much stuff. We have to have a garage sale. And, you know, that vicious cycle continues, right? Why is 4% of the world's population, we, the United States of America, why do we control over 30% of the world's wealth? Why is it just one state here in America, every single year produces more gross income and profit than whole nations do in other parts of the world? You know why? Because we are a blessed nation. And there's a reason for that. Why here in America are there more inventions? I mean, the electric light bulb here in America. Automobile and the mass production of automobiles here in America. The plane and flight here in America. The internet here in America. And it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. Amen? Okay? And all the rest of those things, we have more inventions here in America than the rest of the world put together. And we've shared them with the whole world. And the whole world is better off because of these inventions. So why is that? I'll tell you why. Because our founding fathers, they found something. And they discovered something. And it was called the principles of prosperity. It says in Genesis chapter 39 verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I don't know about you, I want to be prosperous. I want to be prosperous with the truth of God. I want to be prosperous with the things of life that God entrusts to me. It says in 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 13, then thou shalt prosper. Is there anyone that doesn't want to prosper? Everybody wants to prosper. When can we prosper? If thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. You know how you become prosperous? By following that book right there. A lot of people say, no, I'm going to get prosperous by following the world. Not going to get prosperous, not that way. And in fact, it won't be the right type of prosperity, okay? And so a lot of people say, well, Brother Harding, you don't understand, though. Politics are dirty. They're dirty. Well, really, they're not dirty. They're not at all. Let me have you listen to the actual definition from the 1828 Noah Webster's dictionary, where he said this: the science of government, that's politics. That part of ethics, you say, stop right there. I don't see ethics in government. And the reason why we don't see ethics in government a lot of times is because we Christians are not there. And when we leave, our value system leaves with us, you see. And so we need to get back. It goes on to say that politics consist in the regulation and government of a nation or a state for the preservation of its safety, peace, and prosperity, comprehending the defense of its existence, I like that, and rights against foreign control or conquest, the augmentation of its strength and resources, and the protection of its citizens in their rights with the preservation and improvement of their morals. Say, I don't see politics improving morals. And again, the reason why is because we are not there. So I want to talk just very quickly and kind of give you an overview, because if we're going to get engaged, we must first be educated. Amen. I don't care if the world thinks we're crazy. They shouldn't think we're stupid. All right. And so what is this integrity that we've talked about? Now, a lot of times, if you were asking someone today, what is integrity? They'd look at you like we used to say, like a calf looking at a new gate. Okay. And they'd look at you. What? Integrity? Integrity is really two things. Number one, integrity is morality. Now, what's morality? Well, the Ten Commandments show us what morality is. Girls, pay attention. Morality is not doing that which is wrong. That's morality. The Ten Commandments are thou shalt nots. All the thou shalt nots. That's morality, okay? But morality is not enough to fulfill integrity. Say, what do you mean it's not enough, Brother Harding? Well, Edmund Burke said it this way. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And see, morality, yes, it's good, and it keeps you from doing wrong. But unless you have the second part of integrity, which is godly character, that's the vehicle upon which morality is put into action, you see. I can be a person of morality, and there'd be a man beating a woman, and my morality would say, oh, I can't stand that. That's awful. And I could drive right by and not do nothing with just morality. But if I was a man of integrity that had character, I'll guarantee you this, my wheels would be screeching to a halt and I'd be jumping out, and I would, by the way, and running over and stopping that, and I could stop it because I've been trained by diplomatic security. And so I know where the pressure points are, and I can make people look real funny for about 5 minutes with just that one finger right there, okay? All right? But what I'm saying is, hey, we need both of those things. We need morality, which is not doing that which is wrong. Hey, the Ten Commandments, you can't get to heaven by trying to obey the Ten Commandments. It's just a mirror to show you that you're in need of cleaning up spiritually and your need of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Remember, let's see if there's anyone in here. The young fellows, remember the young fellows were combing their hair in that Baby Huey type of thing, remember? When it went to a point, hey, I want to tell you this. I'm glad to see that most everyone here has looked into a mirror today, okay? And I wake up every morning and I sleep on this side of my face and I sleep on that side of my face. And every morning I'm waking up and I got one of those hairdos going on, amen? And I walk over, I know exactly that. That's what happened. Some young fella, he woke up, he slept on this side, he slept on that side, looked at the mirror and went, oh, okay, and just went to school. And everyone started looking at him and they started combing their hair that way, you know? And I show my wife every morning, I say, look, I've got it going on today. She's like, go comb your hair. Oh, okay, all right. But what I'm saying is, see, the Ten Commandments, it's a mirror to show us that we need cleaned up. And the only way that we can get cleaned up is through them by God and asking him to come into our hearts and be the master of our life and the savior of our soul, you see. So the Ten Commandments shows us our need of a savior, all right? Now, but the other part, that godly character, that puts into action what we know to be true, okay? And that's so very, very important. That's why integrity should be first and foremost. You say, why? Well, because integrity is simply this. It is performing that thing for which God has created you to do. Okay? Structurally, this building has some integrity. You didn't walk in here today and say, hope this isn't going to fall in on us. Right? You didn't look at your pew and say, I think that's going to hold up my weight. No, you trusted in the integrity of that pew to hold up your weight. You trusted in this building to not fall in on you when you walked in this morning. And it's the same thing with integrity for a person. We think, we say, we do all the same thing. We're performing the task for which God has created us. That's integrity. Now, what happens if you are a person of integrity? Hey, God upholds you by your integrity. Psalm 41 and verse 12, and as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity. Isn't that good? You can be upheld by God. Number two, God guides us in our integrity. Do you know that we're going to continue to make choices in our life? And choices always lead to either being in or out of God's will. Amen? And so choices are very important. And it says in Proverbs 11 and verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. God makes us better people through and by our integrity. Proverbs 19 and verse 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. See, you can do one of two things. And you young people, boy, get a lesson from this. You can either follow God or you can follow the world. You say, I'm gonna go my way. I know I'm just going to do my thing. And God says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So young people, you can follow the world, but that's the fool's way. You know, I don't know how many times the devil makes fools out of young people and even adults if we start following him. But God, through our integrity, see, he makes us better, gives us a pathway to follow. So here's a profound statement. You cannot do that which is wrong if you're doing that which is right. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Say, Brother Harding, that's very profound. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's a deeper extrapolation of the doctrines of God. Amen. Are you still with me today? Say amen. And so what we need to understand is, number one, we need integrity in our policy of our nation. That means we need to be electing people of integrity, not just what they can do for the second part of the policy of a nation, which is economics. Okay? That's the second thing that makes up a nation. So two things make up a nation. Number one, integrity. Number two, economics. Okay, the integrity of people, the integrity of the leadership, and the economics as well. You say, what are you talking about? Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, all the founding fathers said this. They said, money equals freedom because it's kind of a barometer of how free we are, okay? I mean, that's simply, if you're saying, well, what are you talking about, Brother Harding? Well, if you make $100 a day, that's choices, okay? The more choices we have, the more freedom we have. So that's why money is basically a barometer of how free we are, okay? It's a barometer, shows how free we are. If I take $25 from you now, I've just limited your choices by 1/4. You make $100 a day, I take $50 from you, now I've just halved your choices. Now you just have half the choices that you used to have. If you make $100 and I take that $100, the whole $100 from you, you now become a slave. See how that works? So money is a barometer of how free we are. More money, more choices, okay? And we want more choices. So that means when the government taxes you more and more, what are they doing? They're limiting your freedom. And anyone that taxes you, and I'm going to show you that from the Bible in these next few days, anyone that taxes you, they want to become not a presiding official, they want to become a monarch, okay? And that's ruling, okay? They're not supposed to rule, they're supposed to preside through and by the Constitution of the United States. And look, taxes are not good things. They're bad things because, well, what are we talking about? Well, let me just explain to you this way, because the government says this, and this is what this particular administration is saying to you. We can spend your money better than you can. That's a lie. The government never spends our money better than we can. Never. You say, how can you claim that? By something that I learned in macroeconomics class and one of the degrees that I hold through and by the Maryland University system there in Maryland. So there's three types of purchasing power, okay? First, second, third party purchase, okay? Now, I took this class, I paid for it, and I took the test afterwards, so I'm not going to charge you a cent, and there's no quiz afterwards, okay? How's that? Isn't that good? No quiz, okay? Come on, everybody. Be with me. Okay, good. All right, thank you. Okay. So first party purchase, you're going to buy something that you are going to use with your money. So what do you want? You ladies, you clip coupons. Bless your hearts. Amen. And my wife comes home. She says, look how much money I've saved you. You know, I've never been able to figure that out. You know, you're saving me money by spending money. I don't understand. You know, why don't you stay home then? Probably save more money that way, you know. She said, no, look at I saved you a lot of money, you know. Okay, you know, she's a blessing. It's okay, you know. I married her when she was 18 and brought her up, you know, so it's my fault anyway, okay. But hey, you ladies, you clip coupons, go for the sales. Us guys, we negotiate. Oh, yeah, I'm the negotiator. I love negotiating. My wife hates it. I mean, whenever I go to buy a car, I'm going to go and negotiate. My wife says, just leave me at home, will you? Because, you know, I can remember my dad. Now, the first 7 years of my life, I lived in Detroit, Michigan. It was still one of the richest cities, if not the richest city in the world at that time. Okay, and I remember my dad negotiating for a new car. And they were laughing, him and the salesman. But this guy, the salesman, he was losing money because my dad was dickering with him. In fact, my dad used to call it Jewing him down. And someone say, oh, don't say that. That's derogatory. Are you kidding? The Jews came up with it. Amen? What are you talking about? Hey, Abraham got God from 50 down to 10 for Sodom and Gomorrah. What do you call that? Amen? That's negotiation. Amen? Yeah. Hey, you go over to Israel. I've been over to Israel 5 times. I walked in and they tell me the price. And if I was to buy that with the first price the Jewish merchant would tell me, they would laugh at me on the way out. But when they say, it's so much, I act surprised. So much? And the little gleam in the eye, you know? And they start here and I start there and they know the fight's on, okay? And we come to the middle arrangement. And then they walk out. And I walk out and I'm good friends with them and they understand, hey, this is an American that understands. You see the fact of bartering, okay, and a good stewardship. But I used to be able to. I don't buy new cars anymore because I'm in the ministry now. But when I used to work at the State Department in diplomatic security, I would get 25% to 30% off of a new car. That's depreciation before I walked out of the showroom and drove that car off the parking lot. And then I'd always ask for something extra. I want a mug, you know, we got t-shirts, give me that. I want carpets in, you know, I want carpeted mats in there. And my wife's going, she was with me one time. And they were doing the two-step. Well, Mr. Harding, I don't know if we can do that or not. I said, look, if you want to sell the car, you can do this. Make up the money on the next person that comes in. You know, my wife says, how often do you get someone like my husband? They said, once every 6 months to 8 months, and we're thankful that's all that, you know. But hey, that's being a good steward, right? That's first party purchase. You want the highest quality for the lowest price, right? Second party purchase, now, steal your money, so you want a good price, but the further that person is removed from you, the less concerned you are, we all are, about the quality. Huh? If it's your wife or your husband or someone that you see a lot, you know, then you're going to get still something that is pretty good quality. But if it's your second cousin on your mother's side that you only see once every 5 years, you know, and you look at that something and say, well, it's kind of a strange color. It's a good price, so maybe they'll like it. Huh? Don't look at me sanctimoniously. You know that's the way we are. That's human nature, okay? I'm still concerned about the price, but not so concerned about the quality, the further the person is removed from you. Third party purchase. Now, it's not even your money, and you don't even know the person that you're spending the money for, and so you're not concerned about the quality or the price. And all government spending is third party purchase. What am I saying? If you know that, you can make any rich nation poor, and you can make any poor nation rich. And that's exactly what's going on today. We've seen more of our hard-earned money being frittered away. And guess who's going to pay for it? These ladies, these young men, these ladies over here. Because the fact is, right now, we're in trillions of dollars of debt. Trillions, not billions. Trillions of dollars of debt. That means if God doesn't intercede and do something miraculous, what's going to happen? Generations to come will still be paying off the debt that we have incurred over these last 6 years of this administration. You say, Brother Harding, I can tell right now you're not politically correct. Thank you. Thank you very much. I am not politically correct. I don't want to be politically correct. You say, what do you want? I want to be biblically correct. I want to be constitutionally correct, and I want to be historically correct. Amen. And that's what we should all want to be as Christians. Hey, we don't want to be politically correct by world standards. So there's only two people that can take the money from you, okay? The thief that sticks you up at the ATM and give me your money, and the government, okay, that's already taken your money even before you get your paycheck. And they're taking a huge amount. Look, God only wants 10%. The government's up to over 30% right now. And that's something that we need to talk about amongst ourselves and then start looking at the people that we have coming up to a 2016 presidential election and many other elections as well. We need to understand the fewer choices, the lower standard of living. The greater the choices, the greater standard of living. When Margaret Thatcher was elected as Prime Minister over Great Britain, the English pound sterling at that time, it had gone through a lot of times, you know, the euro now, but the English pound sterling was on its back. And so what Margaret Thatcher did was she cut taxes, put the money in the hands of the British people, and they started spending their money wisely, and the economy started right-siding itself. See, I'm fine with people becoming wealthy in America. You know why? Because they're the ones that are going to produce the jobs for my friends and my brothers and sisters, you understand? And for America, we get America back to work again. But what's going on right now, and I know it's not anything that they are not aware of. It's not simply something that they're blinded to. They know exactly what they're doing. They are making this country very unfriendly to businesses. So where are the businesses going? They're going south of the border or over to China. And folks, we can't see that. We can't continue to see that happen in America, because what's going to happen is less and less jobs for our people here, you see? And by the way, China is still our enemy. I mean, they want to destroy us. Do you understand that? They are not our friends, and yet because of unfair trade practices and because of all of these jobs and businesses going over to China, we see less and less opportunities for the people of America. And so what we need to do is bring businesses back by getting all of these taxes released from our businesses, and then start having a fair trade practice between Japan and China and these other world-dominating countries with corporations, so we can start doing something here in America. You know, there was a time, you know, how many of you have ever heard that that expression, boy, that's a doozy. The reason why we say that's a doozy is from the Duesenberg. They used to handmade. We used to make the best automobiles in the world right here. I mean, no one made a better automobile than America. But who makes the best automobiles now? I'm sorry to say, it's not America anymore. But you know why? Because we have allowed some insidious things to creep into our nation. And we have started building these automobiles in timed obsolescent modes, you see. And the reason why is because there was a man by the name of Tucker after World War II, and Tucker said, hey, if big businesses don't let the innovator, the inventor, free, if we keep big business, basically, you know, the big corporations, not let mom and pops come up and innovate and give them some competition, he said in a court case where the big three were trying to ruin him, because his Tucker automobile, made here in America, was so good and had so many innovations, he said, if men like me are squelched, there's going to come a time where, and this is right after World War II, when the best automobiles in the world will be made by our enemies. And everyone laughed. I mean, look at the resale value. I mean, I want to buy American. You understand? But look, I'm still holding allegiance to a higher power, our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, be good stewards. And folks, we need to understand some things. We need to get back to being wise. Now, you know what we do when we vote, and I'm sorry to say this, and what's happened several years, even Christians, we look at what a person's going to do for us economically and not what they're going to do for or who they are in their integrity. And the reason why that's wrong is because God says, and everyone's looking at certain candidates right now, and they're saying, look what he could do for the economy. Look what he's done for himself. And look at this guy. Well, he's a lot better in his integrity, but this guy could do something for our economy. God says, seek ye first his kingdom, his righteousness. Then these things shall be added unto you, these other things. I want the other things, but when we elected Reagan, because Reagan, and I can remember this, I campaigned for Reagan. Yes, I'm that old. Amen. I campaigned for Reagan, and he was a man of integrity. I don't believe in everything that he did, but he was a man of some great integrity. And when we elected him, guess what? Our economy right-sided itself. And Reagan economics didn't catch up, because our economy is like a lumbering giant. It takes years when we put something in force to really catch up. That's why I'm so very concerned about what's going on right now, because it's going to catch up to us. But by the time Reaganomics actually balanced the budget and everything was so good, Clinton was in office, and Clinton took all of the accolades of what Reagan had done. So you say, well, Brother Harding, why are you explaining all this to us? Because these are biblical concepts to our country that we need to understand. The policy of a nation, why we are so blessed. And folks, we are blessed as a nation. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And that's the United States of America. And that's what we need to hold on to, because if we don't, very soon, it's all going to change. And I am very concerned about these young people and the type of country that they're going to grow up in that we won't even be able to recognize. Reagan said this one time. He said, freedom is always one generation away from destruction. It does not pass on through the DNA, through the blood system. We have to carefully pass it on from one generation to another, or we will see a time in our country where our grandchildren will sit on our knee and ask us, what was it like to be a free man in America? And I don't want ever to see that happen. And we can do something about that. But to begin with, we must become knowledgeable of what this says and how this pertains to the Constitution of the United States, our owner's manual. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you that we lived in a blessed nation. Blessed now in the coming services to follow. Thank you for these dear people, each and every one of them. And Lord, thank you for the young people today, the future of this country. Bless them as well, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.